You have your Bibles tonight. I would like to ask you to please turn to 2 Timothy. I'd like to read from 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'd like to read verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I know that you know these words by heart, but I think that from time to time it's necessary for us to go back and lay some foundations and be reminded of some of the principles that are set forth in the Word of God. I'd like to read now from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. The Word of God says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." If correctly read, that's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Before we begin to try to study from God's holy word, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again for the privilege that we have to come before Thy throne of grace, to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. Lord, we know that we need Thee every moment of our lives. We understand that it's in Thee that we live and move and have our very being. That it's only because You're keeping our heart beating and blessing us to be able to breathe. It's only because of You that we're alive. We thank You for sparing our lives, the lives of our family and friends, through another day. And those that have gone home to be with You this day, we pray that You would comfort their families, that You would give them a special measure of Thy grace, that the peace of God and the power of God and the presence of God would be manifest in an abundant way so that they can feel happy that their loved ones are home with You. Lord, we pray that You would accept our thanksgiving for those that have had surgery today, that are doing better. Pray that You would continue to be with them, strengthen them, and lift them up and restore them to their health. Pray that You would bless those that have been mentioned audibly as well as in the bulletin this day. We pray that You would touch each one that stands in special need of Thy help. You know all the things that we're facing during this coming week, and we ask You in the name of Jesus that You would be with us, that You would uphold us, and that You would give us the wisdom that we need for all the duties and responsibilities of life. We pray that You would help us during this coming week, that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart would be acceptable in Thy sight. And as we begin to make preparations and plans for the week of worship and recreation, we do ask You, Lord, to help us that we might be filled with the Spirit of God, that the young people and the adults, that all of us together, would be as a family, the family of God. We would hear the Word of God and understand the Word of God, that we would learn more about Your Word and about our nation and what we can do as Your children to restore the righteous principles upon which our nation was founded. Thank You again for our founding fathers. Thank You for their love for You and for the ways that they looked to You and depended upon You. And we pray that You would help us to have godly leaders again that really believe in the one true and living God, that serve Him, and that love Him, and that follow Your Word. Teach us now and instruct us and bless us to be reminded of the great truth of the inspiration of the Bible. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, our elder brother, the King of kings and Lord of lords, in the name that's above every name, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I want us to think tonight about the fact that the Word of God, and that's what the Bible is. The Bible is the Word of God, and the Scripture says here that all Scripture, that means all Scripture, Old and New Testament, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's the first thing I want us to think about, is that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We sometimes say that a song was inspired by God or a book was inspired by God, but there has never been anything that was inspired by God like the Word of God. The Word of God is something that God blessed men to write and to pen those words. God moved in them. The Word of God tells us, turning your Bibles over to a past where we are, turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1 sheds some light on how the Word of God came into being. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21 tells us how God inspired men to pen the words that we have today that we call the Bible. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 through 21, the Word of God says, we also have a more sure word of prophecy. What is that word of prophecy that we have? That's the Word of God, the Bible. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. We do well to take heed to the Word of God. It's for our good. It's to His honor and glory, but the Word of God is for our good. And He says in that 19th verse that we would do well to take heed unto the Word of God as unto a light in a dark place. And then He says in verse 20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The Word of God, God breathed the Word of God into holy men of God, and then they penned those words, and God was guiding them, and God has preserved His Word unto this very day. This is the Word of God, and all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Occasionally I meet people who say, well, I don't believe what Paul wrote, and I sometimes hear people say, no, you know, Paul didn't like women, or Paul had this problem or that problem, and therefore I don't like what Paul wrote, but I like the words that are in red. I like the words that Jesus wrote. I want you to know that everything that Paul wrote is just as inspired as everything you see written in red. The Word of God, whether it was written or penned by the Apostle Paul, or by Moses, or by Elijah, Isaiah, or by any other man of God, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And there is not a book, there is not another book in all the world that compares to the Word of God. There's not another book like the Word of God. And I just pray that God will help us to always believe that the Bible is, in fact, the Word of God. All Scripture, the Scripture says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And notice the next expression here, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. The Word of God is profitable. It is profitable to the people of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. If we want to know how to live, if we want to know what to believe, if we want to know the truth about God, every real truth about God that we will ever know in this world, every truth about God is recorded in the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. I want you to notice in 2 Timothy chapter 1, when the Apostle Paul, now remember, this is the closing, the text that we're looking at in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. That's kind of a summary, those last two verses in chapter 3, where the Word of God says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Those two verses are really just the climax of everything else that Paul has been writing about to the young preacher Timothy. He says it, and we could go all the way through 1 and 2 Timothy, and I encourage you to go home and do that, and look at all that the Bible says in 1 and 2 Timothy about the importance of the Word of God, the importance of the Bible, the importance of the Scriptures, the importance of the Gospel. Those are different phrases that all refer to the same thing. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, I just want to touch on two or three things that show the importance of the Word of God and how we need to hold on to the Word of God. I believe that the number one attack today that Satan has is not on people, but the number one attack is on the Word of God. I believe that all the different translations and all the different versions and all the different perversions that we have today that people call the Word of God, I believe that all of that is of the devil. He's doing everything he can to confuse the people of God and to doubt and wonder what has God really said. 2 Timothy chapter 1, listen please to verses 7 and 8. Listen, brethren, if you're going to stand up for the Word of God, if you're going to believe the Word of God, if you're going to believe the doctrine that's in the Word of God, you need to be strong and have no fear to stand up for the Word of God. The truth of God's Word is completely different from what men believe. The natural thinking of man will never harmonize with the Word of God. Therefore, when the Word of God is taught, it will always be contrary to what the natural man believes. And the natural man will oppose the Word of God. And the natural man will rebel against the Word of God. And the natural man will rebel against anyone who preaches and teaches the Word of God. And that's the reason Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, and told him, don't be afraid to preach the Word. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, he says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. I know we apply that to every kind of fear that there is, and I think it is applicable to all other kind of fear other than fearing God, that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. What is the testimony of our Lord? It's the Word of God. Don't be ashamed of the Word of God. God has not given you the spirit of fear to be afraid to stand up for the Word of God. God's given you the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. So he says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Why would a man have afflictions when they teach the gospel? What causes men to be afflicted when they teach and preach the Word of God? It's again, it's opposition that men have to the Word of God. And Paul's telling Timothy, don't be afraid to preach the whole counsel of God's Word. And he's telling Timothy, he says, be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. If you're going to stand for the Word of God, you're going to be afflicted. Look at chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2. He continues to warn and exhort Timothy to be a good soldier and to stand up for the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, the Word of God says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. What's Paul telling Timothy? He's saying to Timothy, now I've given you the Word of God, and I exhort you to commit those things to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's one of my primary functions as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is to teach the people the Word of God so that then they can go and teach others the truth of God's Word. He says, commit them to faithful men that they shall be able to teach others also. To teach others what? Is it to teach others what Paul thinks, or to teach others what Timothy thinks? No, it's to teach others what God says. This is the Word of God. Teach them the Word of God. Listen in verse 3 now. He says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Why does someone have to endure hardness? Because, brethren, if you're not going to endure hardness, you cannot continue to preach the Word of God. You will not preach all the Word of God unless you're able to endure hardness. He says in verse 4, no man that warreth. And, brethren, we're involved in a war. I'm not talking about the war across the sea. I'm talking about the war that's going on in America today. There is an attack on the Word of God. There's an attack on Christianity. And there is hatred among Many people in the United States of America today, they despise the Word of God. That's the reason that we need to hear again and have reinforced in our hearts and minds, this is, in truth, it's the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. What will people do as they get worse and worse? How will they continue? How will they respond to the Word of God as things get worse in America? Because iniquity, here's what Jesus says in Matthew 24 and verse 12. He says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That is, their love for God and their love for the Word of God is going to wax cold. And they're going to fall away, and they're going to be led away by various doctrines of the devil. That's the reason we need to keep studying and teaching and preaching the Word of God. The only thing we can stand on is the Word of God. If we're going to depart from the Word of God, then we cease to be the Church of Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. He continues to tell Timothy that he must exhort and reprove and rebuke the people of God with the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, he says, preach the Word! Now, what is it the people of God need to hear more than anything else? It's the Word of God. Most of you know that I don't know how to tell jokes to begin with. I never have been able to tell. I've tried in the pulpit and outside the pulpit. I've tried to tell things that are funny or tell a joke, and I just can't do it. I've seen people that can tell jokes all day long. I've got a brother-in-law, good Christian man, who can tell a joke just one after another. I've never been able to do it. But brethren, we don't need to hear jokes, and we don't need to hear anything other than the Word of God when we come to the house of God. We need the Word of God. The church needs the Word of God. The people of God need the Word of God. Our nation needs the influence of the Word of God in her again. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, the Apostle Paul, writing to the young preacher Timothy, he says, preach the Word. Preach what? Preach the Word. What is the Word? It's the Word of God. Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. How do people take to reproof and rebuke? How do they like that? How do you like it? Do you like to be reproved and rebuked and exhorted? That's not something that anybody enjoys. And yet that's what Paul tells Timothy, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come. Now Paul didn't have any doubt that this was true. He says in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Now what is that sound doctrine? That's the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. And now Paul tells Timothy the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now, brethren, I'm not talking about children of the devil. I'm talking about children of God that are going to turn their back on the Word of God. And so it's important that we all remember that these are not the words of men. This is, in truth, the Word of God. The Apostle Paul thanked God that the saints of Philippi, that when they heard the Word of God, they did not receive it as the Word of men, but they received it as the Word of God, which effectually works in those who believe. Now it's in unbelief of the Word of God that people begin to rebel against the Word of God. Go with me now to... Well, let me ask you this question. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. Is the purpose of the preaching of the gospel, is the purpose of the preaching of the gospel to make children of God out of people, or to take people who are already children of God and instruct them in how they're to walk? Brethren, the purpose of the gospel is not to cause people to get born again. The purpose of the preaching of the gospel is not to take dead alien sinners who don't love God or care about God and cause them to start loving God. In fact, that's the reason that Jesus says about those that He was preaching to, He says, "Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word, ye are of your father the devil." Those that are not men of God, those that have not been born of the Spirit of God, the Word of God is not to them. I want to repeat that. If a person is not born of the Spirit of God, the Word of God is not to them. That's the reason Jesus says about 27 times in the New Testament, He says, "He that hath an ear, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of God saith unto the churches." Why has God given us the Scripture? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. It's for the perfecting of the saints. It's that the man of God may be perfect, not be absolutely perfect to get you into heaven one day. You will never get absolutely perfect. You'll never be absolutely perfect by your own living, by keeping the Word of God. That's not going to get you into the eternal heaven. But there is a perfection, well, let me first say, that you're going to be made perfect when you're going to be made perfect. There's a difference in you making yourself perfect and you becoming perfect by keeping the Word of God and God making you perfect. In the final resurrection, you know what's going to take place in the final resurrection? God is going to make all of His people perfect, completely perfect. I'm talking about pure within and without. We're going to be conformed to the image of the Son of God in the final resurrection. But the Word of God also teaches us that there is a perfection. You listen carefully to this. There is a perfection that the people of God should strive for and that they can achieve while they live here in this world. And the only way for the people of God to reach that perfection is for us to take heed to the Word of God. Why? Because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. Do you know of anybody that the Bible says was perfect? Name somebody. You know. Okay, Enoch walked with God, and he was not. Enoch was perfect in his generation. The Word of God says in Genesis chapter 6, I believe, that Noah was perfect in his generation. The Word of God says that Asa was perfect in his heart. The Word of God says about Job, there was in the land of Uz a man whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright. A man that shunned God, a man that feared God and shunned evil. He was a perfect man. Those were perfect men. How did they get to be perfect the way the Word of God is talking about there? By following the commandments of God. By keeping the commandments of God. Why has God given us, what is the main reason that God gives us the Word of God as is defined in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17? That the man of God, he's already a man of God, that the man of God may be perfect. And then the last expression he uses there is throughly furnished unto all good works. Brethren, it is important that we understand that every single good work that God would have us to perform in our lives is set forth in the Word of God. And when we come up with good works that are not found in the Word of God, we've gotten off track. We need to pray, God, help us to know what the good works are that You have described in Your Word, because that's the good works that will please God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. May God help us to receive the Word of God as it is in truth. God's holy Word is my prayer for Christ's sake.